Right, we started two dots at the bottom of Yud Aleph Hamud Bet. We are, the Gemara is in the middle of a Mamar Muskar, right, a parenthetical topic here, which is that of Miriam. In the Gemara with Darshaning and Shmuel Aleph, all the psukim with regards to Mitzrayim and Paro, and the Gemara will continue after they go through this parenthetical piece with Kalev and Miriam. And it'll go back to doing that through the second half of the daf today. But right now we're spending some time because the Gemara discussed that the Mialdos were rewarded with Batim, right? And that was Batim. There was a Machlokas whether those Batim were Kuna Bilya, which is straightforward, which is Aaron and Moshe, versus if the Batim were Malkus. Right? If the Batim were Malkus, we said that was Malkus Beit David. How do we know it's Malkus Beit David? Because he said that the Gemara Darshan the Pasuk about Ephrat, right? And because David was an Ephrati, and Miriam was also known as Ephrat, that he was a descendant of Miriam. And the Gemara brings a possible Kalev.
It could be an Ephrat. And you could say that it's
Miriam
and Ephrat, and Miriam,
saying
they got both the
Kuna Bolivia
and the Lua.
Right. It makes a lot of sense what you're saying, although about the Queen of Olivia, Karamar about the Malkuth, which is that they are arguing about it, but I agree with you, it makes a lot of sense, because then you can divide up your Kaled and Miriam, and both of them having a separate reward. The Kaled ben Chetron, Halid et Azura, Isha et Yiriot. So the Pashut Shat in the Pasuk here in Divrei Yamim is that Kaled ben Chetron, which I have to deal with why he's ben Chetron, he gave birth to Azura and Yiriot, which is. And then it continues, Ve'elu Banel. And these are its children, Yesher V'Shovav V'Ardon. So now, the problem is that we're going to see that the Gemara Darshans, as well as, the puzzle you're going to have to explain is that not literally Holi that he gave birth to, but Kalei Ben Chetron, the simple way to read the puzzle according to the Drash of the Chazal is Kalei Ben Chetron Holi. Right? He gave birth, he fathered children, and then et Azuva Yishav et Yiriot. And his wives were Azuva and Yiriot, Ve'ele Banel. And this is her children. Yesher v'shovav v'ardon. So we'll point out the problems in the pasuk. So now the Gemara is going to go ahead. I'll just explain a little bit what the Gemara is going to do. Gemara is also going to say that Azuva and Yiriot are one person. Right, so which is not so clear in the puzzle, it seems to be that there are two people. And then one proof or one hint to that is that after this list it says Ve'ila Baneha. These are her children, right? And not Banehem or plural. You know, it's written in the singular afterwards, which right gives a little tokia to the idea that there's only one woman here. And the other thing that Gemara has to deal with is this Holid. It's a Holid, which sounds like he gave birth to Azuba, that they were his daughters, Azuba and Yiriot, and yet we're claiming that they are his wives. And the last thing we have to deal with is actually what we discussed yesterday, which is the pasuk following this, is the Tamat Azuba. It's the last pasuk we mentioned yesterday, that Azuba passes away, the Kaklo Kaled et Ephrat. And then Kaled takes Ephrat. Right? And we said that Ephrat is Miriam. And the Gemara in a second is going to say that Azuba is also Miriam. So the Gemara is going to have to deal with all these stirot, and we'll try to put it all together into a picture here. So the Gemara asks, the first one is, it says Kaled ben Chetron, right? Don't we know that it's Kaled ben Yifuneh, right? So why is it Kaled ben Chetron? So the Gemara says, ben Shepanah Me'atzat Regalim, right? So that he... Yifuneh is not his name, but rather a descriptive term, a description of him, being the one who turns away from the Atzat Regalim. So where it says, Vakati ben Kenazu. We also find that he is ben Kenaz, Dichtiv, Vayukada, Autuniel ben Kenaz, Achikalet. Which you see, we have this pasuk, the Masorah Shas quotes it from Shoftim Aleph, which is in Pasuk Yigimah Shoftim Aleph, the same exact story and the same exact pasuk actually appears in Yoshua, Tetvav, right? And over there, it's when Yehuda goes to conquer their land, Kaled steps forward and says, Hashem promised me that I could take control over this land, that I could take Hebron and conquer this area, and because of my, opting out of being with the Meraglim, and he goes to go make his claim to the land, and then he conquers it. When he goes to conquer it, he then says, whoever conquers, right, Kiryat Sefer, or that's what they end up calling it, Kiryat Sefer will get my daughter Aksa, And Otniel ben Kenaz steps up to the plate, and they calls him there that he's Achi Kalev, the brother of Kalev, and he conquers the area and takes his daughter Aksa. So if he's Otniel ben Kenaz, that means Kalev is also ben Kenaz. So now you have Kalev ben Kenaz, you have Kalev ben Yifuneh, and Kalev ben Chetzron. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabba chorgot Kenaz Havi, that he was a step son to Kenaz. Meaning that Kenaz was not his father, that they were brothers through their mother. They did not share a common father, only a common mother, and Kenaz was his stepfather. So the way the Gemara is learning it now is we have three, Kalev, Ben Yifuneh, Chetzron, and Kenaz. Right? But Kenaz was his stepfather. Right? Yifuneh was a description of his panam etzat regalim, and his name is Kalev, Ben Chetzron. Right, so it says, hey, Kanami, and I can prove this to you, that Steve, it says in Yoshua, right, in Perek Yudalit, so it's the Perek before where Kalev goes to Yoshua and goes to the leadership of Christ at the time, says, I'm ready to take my possession of my land. He calls him there, Haknizi, a number of times in Pesuk Vav, Pesuk Yudalit, calls him Kalev Haknizi. So we're not describing him as Ben Kenaz, but Haknizi. Right, Knizi implies that he is from the context of the family of Kenaz, but not necessarily that he is born to Kenaz. And this supports the position that he grew up in the house of Kenaz, but he was not necessarily his father, Kenaz. Alright, Shmami now. Now the Gemara says, Azuva zu Miriam. Azuva is Miriam. So now we have her name being Miriam, Ephrat, and Azuva. So Lama Nikra Shma Azuva. Shakul Azuva mitchilata. Because she was very sickly when she was young, and therefore nobody wanted to take her as a wife. But she was left abandoned by the young lads of Israel because she was sickly or not pleasant to look at necessarily. So then, Mark says, Holid. Why, we said before, if you say Azuva is his wife, then why did it say Kalev ben Chetzron Holid et Azuva? And he gave birth to Azuva. He was his wife. Why did he say birth? Hello, Mintzvah of Hab Navisu, Mintzvah of Hab Nazibla. Right, we're not even up to that problem yet. Right, we'll deal with that in a second. And also, Hello, Mintzvah of Nazibla, that what? That he was married to her. I'm Rabbi Yochanan, Kolonosei Isha L'Shem Shemaim, Malea Alava Katuv Kili Yalda. That a person who marries a wife for the Shem Shemaim is, as the Torah makes it there, or considers it as he's given birth to her. And because she was a Zuva, nobody wanted to marry her, so his marrying of her, right, brings her life. I mean, both marrying her in the sense that he brings her life, and number two is in the sense that that he allows her to have children in this set going forward, and therefore it's as if Yalda, he reinvigorates her, brings her back to life. Now, Kilu Yalda, why was it that he married her to Shem Shemayim? So Rashi quotes the famous Medrash about, by Achot Nachshon, by Elisheva, as he quotes it also over here. He quotes it that Kalev looked at Miriam's brothers, and it says, Rove, children go after Achiaim, the brothers of the mother. And therefore he saw that Moshe and Aaron were tzaddikim. So he married Miriam l'shem Shemaim because he assumed that, right, she was a great woman and that her brothers were Myra on her about what her Ophi was. And therefore he married her despite her looks or despite her sickliness. So now Yiriot, Shayupanea Domim Liriot. That her face was like Yiriot, like sheets, meaning that she, Rashi says, Bli to'ar admumit, right, without a reddish complexion, right, meaning that she was, as you say, you look pale, right, white as a ghost, you look pale, right, the machmat chuya, because of her sickness, haya, yirak reket. She was yirak reket, which translated, loosely, yirak reket is used, people always translate it as green, it could be more, yeah, Esther, right, Esther haita, yirak reket. Right, that was the Gemara Megillah quoted about Esther, that she was Yerak Reket, and then that Chud Shel Chesed Mashuch Alea, and there was a Chud Shel Chesed that was placed on her. So Yerak Reket, probably the proper translation is more of a yellowish look than necessarily green. So that's what all the Rishonim pointed out here, that it says the Tamata Zuba, right, this is what Joel was asking, and then it says that he marries Ephrat. Now, but Zuba is Miriam, and Ephrat is Miriam. What does it mean? Tamat, Azuba, and then Miriam. So Tamat, they all claim, is from the Tzorat. that when she had Tzaraat, her Tzaraat was Chashu Kemeis. And in therefore, when it has afterwards, when he marries Efrat, is when she's healthy and after she's overcome the, right, the Tzaraat. So that's exactly what you were suggesting that would help us get
through the Tzaraat. That doesn't help us get through the meaning of Azubah.
Right. Ah, so now we have to go Be'elo. Static Gemara says Be'elo.
It brings out someone of somebody that says that the Tzaraat episode that it's talking about is not famous Tzaraat episode that we know with Maria in the Midrash, but that there was one she it has to be in one earlier, like when they were still in Mitzrayim.
Right. When she was young.
When she was young.
Right.
That her illness or conversion took place before she gave birth to Hor. I'm going to do that by Mechavos Amalek Hor was old enough that he was healthy unless she keeps his arms up. Therefore, it must have been
prior
to her giving birth.
Very good. And these are her children. So now, those that build her, or build, give strength to them. So now, Marsha points out over here that it's not, we don't take literally that these are her children, because again, if Azuba and Efrat are the same person, right, then it says with Tamat Azuba that he takes Efrat, and then he gives a list of who Efrat gave birth to, which is Hor. Right, so if they were listing her children, why don't they put the two lists together? So therefore, the Gemara says, well, if that's the case, then the first Banah must not literally be Banah, but Bonah. Yashar, or Yeshar, actually, in the Pasuk it says Yeshar, so Yashar et etzmo, that he straightened, Kalev straightened himself out, meaning that he overcame his Yitzhar Hara. So Rashi says that he overcame his Yitzhar Hara to go after the Miraglim, to follow through the Miraglim. The Marsha says, no, he straightened himself out, that he didn't worry about his Yitzhar Hara, but the beauty of the woman, he looked at her, her innards, and her insides, and saw the beauty of her ishiyut, Shel Miriam, and therefore he married her, he overcame his Yitzhar Hara. Shuvav, Shuvav et Yitzro, right, again, that he overcame he quieted his Yitzhar Hara, pushed it away. So again, Rashi interprets it from the Atzat Miraglim, whereas Marsha learns it about his marrying of Miriam. Rashi over here brings down an interesting term here. He says that the word Matzatan Lashonah Bat Shoveva, it's a need to moredet. Today, right, in modern Hebrew, Shovev is a mischievous, right? So here Rashi says that a Shoveva is a Yitzanit to moredet. So it goes out and is rebellious. They call Kalev Mered in another pasuk, which is later on in Divrei Yamim Dalet, which we're about to get to. We're going to talk about a little bit. Divrei Yamim Dalet. Hashem Shemarid by Tzad Miraglim. If you look in Divrei Yamim Dalet, there's a person named Mered who marries over there. It's not clear that he's Kalev over there because Kalev is mentioned earlier as in part of the children of Chetzron, and then it mentions this Mered, who's independent. But the Gemara again says Mered is Kalev again, and then Kalev marries, has children, and then again after that marries Batya Bat Paro. Bitya. It's called Bitya Bat Paro. He marries her as well. So this Mered, so Rashi says, refers to Kalev, who is Mered, and that's why the Gemara says over here, Marad, that he, the word Shoveiv and Marad are synonymous, and therefore it's Kalev who was Mored the Atzat Miraglim. So Rashi is combining the Vardon, Shiradabi Yitzro, right, that he rode his Yitzro, meaning that he put it into place, right, so that it would not allow him to go either. Again, Rashi says Atzat Miraglim, Rashi reads it as for Miriam. Bika de Amre, some people say that she was called that she was Yiriot, Ashiyu Paneh Dolmin Leveret, that her face was as beautiful as a rose. So this, you have to say, is after she was sick and she was healed, right, that Yiriot is a reference to her after she was healed, right, and that would go well with what Shaul had suggested before, that maybe there were two incidents of her becoming healthy, right, because one time she's Leveret is after she was sick and also after Efrat, when she was sick also. Now, Divrei Yamim Dalet says, Ulashchur, Avi Tekoa, Hayushtei Nashim. So, Ulashchur, the father of Tekoa, Hayushtei Nashim, had two wives, Chela Vinara. But Ashchur is a Kalev. Again, the Gemara interprets that Ashchur is Kalev. The Lama Nikra Shmo Ashchur. How was he called Ashchur? Shehushchuru Panav Bitaniyot. That his face became ashened or blackened by the number of fasts that he took upon himself. So Rashi again interprets this to be because of the Meraglim, that he wanted protection from going after the Tzad Meraglim, so he was fasting in order to protect himself. But Marshal says that he was fasting in order that Miriam should get over her sickness. And therefore the Hashkar Panav Mataniyot was for the health of Miriam. So then it says, Avi, Shinashela Ke'av. Right, she became to her like a father, which we said before. That he dealt with her, either Rashi says over here that he dealt with her refuah, or her mizonot, I mean he took care of her, that literally ka'av, that he took care of her, or, like we said before, which is that the pasuk is holid, that he holid, right? Anybody who's married is if he gives birth to her, so now say ka'av. To ko'ah, right, is shetakat bibol aviv shebashamayim, that he placed his heart with his father in heaven. So now, hayush inashim, right, there, he had two wives. So now, what do we mean he had two wives? So far we've only had one wife. Now say Miriam, Ishtei Nashim. Miriam was like two wives to him because she went through two stages. One stage where she was sick, and then another stage where she was healthy. Chela b'nara, so these are the two wives. Lo chela b'nara habai, right, that they weren't chela b'nara, Ella. So I mean, if it's referring to Miriam, in the beginning she was chela, meaning that she was cholat, sick. But with Sof Nara, in the end she went back to being a Nara, meaning that she was cured for her sickness, and therefore her face, her appearance, came back to being that of a Nara. So then the pasuk continues in Tiberi Yamin, Muvnei Chela, Tseret, V'Tzochar, V'Etnan. Right, so the children of Chela are Tseret, Tzochar, V'Etnan. The pasuk says Tzochar with a Chet. I don't know why the Gemara quotes it here as Tzochar with a Hey. There is a Kriyin Ksiv there, but both of them have a Chet in there. So I don't know why it quotes it as Tzochar. But anyway, it's the Gadol that they're going to say afterwards makes sense that it's Tzochar, but it's not, that's not what it says in the pasuk. Alright, so now, Ubnei Chela Tseret, V'Tzochar, V'Etnan. Tserat. So Tseret, she nasit tzara l'chabrotel, that she was a, right, people were jealous of her, friends were jealous of her because of her beautiful appearance after she became healthy, after she returned to being a Nara. So this is an interpretation, shayupanet olmim kitzorayim, that her face was as bright as the afternoon sun, meaning the daytime. So that's why you would say tzohar instead of tzohar. Etnan, right, so kol haru'eh ota molich etnan li'ishto, that anybody who saw her, any man who saw her was so attracted to her that he would give a present to his friend in order to, give a present to his friend in order to, to his wife, in order to spend time with her. So now that's the, we call the Mamar Mishkar about Miriam and Kalev, where the Gemara interprets that Kalev, and numerous names are Kalev, and numerous names are Miriam. They were married, and that the Gemara then uses agadic interpretations to deal with the fact that there are, Kalev looks to have five, six wives, right? And the other way around, that if all of them are Miriam, how do you explain, right, what those mean? Now this all came about because we wanted to show that when they had the Batim, right, David was a descendant of Miriam, that's what got us on this track. Now the Gemara is going to go back to his thinking about Mitzrayim, about the Shmot Perek Aleph, about the process of the Shibut. Alright, V'taparo l'cholamo, so Paro tells his whole nation that they have to, kill the people. Amar v'yisru v'chini akolamo gazar. That when it says the cholamo, doesn't mean he just told them, but it means that the tzivui was also on the cholamo. That they also were included in the zeirah killing all the male children. Amar v'yisru v'chini, excuse me, shlosh zeirah gazar. Paro goes to three zeirot, the tzilayim benhu v'amitem oto. First one was the tzivui to the male goat, that they should kill any male child, meaning that it was a quiet process. And this is because he's afraid that Bnei Israel expanding. So kill the male children who would be part of the army. Afterwards, they said there was a gzeirah that they should, when he realizes that the male goat are not following his tzivui, he says, throw all the male children, right, which were just the Jewish children, into the river. In the end, he says, everyone, all male children that are born, should be thrown into the river. We're going to see later today that the goddess is wise because it's the Negei. Paro told him on that day the Moshiach Yisrael was born, right? And they, again, we said before that the Mitzrayim were darshaning mida keneged mida, right? Therefore, they want to punish through the water. And then there, Yitzchak Paro, the astrologers of Paro say they don't know if he's going to be born to a Mitzri or to a Jew. So Paro on that day says everyone goes in the water. Any boy that is born, whether he's a Mitzri or a Jew, is going to be put in the water. So there are three stages to his Gzerah. The first two stages of the Gzerah deal with the Jews and deal with trying to deal with that Bnei Yisrael's expanding too fast.
Just the manner in which they killed him?
It was the Mialdot. The first time it was the Mialdot who were commanded. The second one is that he put out Shomrim. He put out, guards to make sure that it was implemented. And then the last one is Sofa HaMogazar, was because then he was dealing with Moshiach Shel Yisrael, which is the Tigenei Paro. Right? But you have Ish Mi Beit Levi. So it says that in Ish Mi Beit Levi, Lahekan Allah. Where did he go? He took the advice of his daughter Miriam. Tana Amram Gadol Ador Haya. Right, that he was the Rosh Yeshiva, was the Gadol Ador. Kevan, right, Shigazar Paro, Arashah Kula Ben, Ayelod Yerorat Ashlichu, after the Shivoy of that all male children should be thrown into the Yor. Amar the Shavanu Amelim, right, we are working for naught. I mean that we have, if we're going to have our children going to be thrown into the river, then why have our children right now? Amad, the Gerasha Tishto. He got up and he divorced his wife. Amdu Kulam, Gershuat Nishotam. So everybody else followed the lead of Amram, and they were all Megaresh, their wives. Amr lo bito, Abba Kashi, Gzerat Chayo, Ter Michel Paro. Your Gzerah is worse than Paro. Sheparo, lo gazar, el al azacharim. As Marsha points out here, that it's actually, there are three things that Miriam says to him, and he says the three things are connected to the three Gzerot of Paro. Sheparo, lo gazar, el azacharim. Lata gazar, el azacharim. Ve'alani kebot. First of all, Paro only commanded that the male children should die. The females would survive. Your Gzerah, if you don't stay with your wife, is that there'll be neither females nor males. Right, that God was only goes there that you take the life away from a child, but that doesn't mean that child won't reach Olam Haba. But your Gzeira means that the children will never be born, and therefore they'll never get to Olam Haba. Right, exactly. So if the child's born, at least it could get to Olam Haba. If the child's never born, then there's no talking about it getting to Olam Haba. Right, Safek, he says, Paro Rasha, Safek mitkayemet gzeroto, Safek eina mitkayemet. Right, so by Paro Rasha, it's a Safek whether he would be able to mitkayem gzero, whether it will stand the test of time. Safek eina mitkayemet. Atat tzadik, bavadai shkizotka mitkayemet. You're a tzadik, and when you speak, things happen. Shinemar, it says in Yob, and Yob is describing the one who follows in the ways of Hashem, right, and is close to Hashem, but tigzar omer, vayakomach, that when that person speaks, right? That when he makes the decree and he speaks, but Yaakov Hashem will take care of it and it will happen. So therefore, when Amram made this Gezeirah, meaning that when he divorced his wife, then it's going to stand, that's going to stay in place. Amad, the Gezeirah Tishto. So he went back and took his wife back. I mean, Amram took Yochevet back as his wife. Amdu Kulam, the Gezeirah Nishotem. So everybody followed Amram and they all took their wives back. So it says, Vayikach. Why does it say Vayikach? It should say Vayakzor, that he returned his wife. He's already married to her. Why does it say Vayikach, which is implied the first time that he's taking her, rather Vayakzor, that he's returning her. So it says, Amir Razvina Shasula Maseh Likuchim, that he remarried her. I mean, he made a new chuppah. He did it, Oshiva Ba'Piryon. He placed her in a palace, in a chuppah, beautiful chuppah. Ba'Aron V'Miriam, Miraktim Lefaneh. And Aaron and Miriam are dancing in front of them. Kids from Akhtim, Lesbian Akala. Malachi Asher Yisamru, Imabanim Smecha. Right, that this is the Imabanim, the mother of the Banim is happy. So now it says, the puzzle continues, Et Bat Levi, right, that he took back, there was Ishmi Beit Levi, right, Et Bat Levi. Efshar Bat Me'av Shloshim Shana Ha'Viyah, the Kori Labat. Could it be that Yocheved was 130 years old, and it calls her a bat? Why? How do we know she was 130 years old? Amar Rav Chama bar Rabbi Chanina, Zu Yocheved Shehorata B'Derech, Veleidata Ben Achomot. So it says, by the pasuk, it says, Shenemar Asher Yodah Tov LeLevi B'Mitzrayim. That when Yocheved is born, it says that she was born to Levi in Mitzrayim. Leidata B'Mitzrayim B'Nehorata B'Mitzrayim. She was born in Mitzrayim, but she was not conceived in Mitzrayim. And the Medrash is going after to solve another problem, which is that it says when Yaakov goes down to Mitzrayim that there are 70 individuals in the list there. But if you go through the list, only 69 and not 70. So how do you get to the 70th? So this is what the Medrash does. It says that Yocheved was born in Mitzrayim. That's what later Tavi Mitzrayim. So why does that, how do we know from that she's 130 years old now? Because we know, well, how old is Moshe when Bnei Israel and Klal Israel leave Mitzrayim? He's 80 years old. Bnei Israel are found in Mitzrayim for Redu, they're there for 210 years. So 210 years minus the 80, that means that when she has gives birth to Moshe, she can see Moshe that she's 130 years old. So that's what the Gemara says here. How can it be she's 130 years old? Right, so the Gemara's going to deal with that. She's actually 130 because she gives birth before she turns a 131 because she's actually, the Gemara's going to say, in a second pregnant with Moshe prior to this Likuchim. So I'll have to deal with that in a second. All right, so now she's 130 years old. So the Gemara wants to know how can she be called a bat at 130 years old. There's also the Ramban al Torah, famous Ramban al Torah, who asks, right, why the Torah goes and makes a big deal out of the fact that Sarah at right, 90 years old, was having a child. Here we have Yocheved at 130 years old having a child. Why does the Torah place so much emphasis on Sarah and all the miracles that happened there? And yet, right, it is almost circumspect.
So about they had a child before. At least Yocheved already had her in agreement.
Right, although it's still the age. It's just unbelievable. And why is the Torah so circumspect about it? So that's what Ramban says. Ramban says that the Torah only makes a big deal about it when Hashem says in the future something will happen. Meaning that when Hashem promises Sarah that she will have a child, then it makes a big deal that she has a child at 90. Over here, it was a miracle, but there was no prediction that this would happen, that Yocheved would have a child, and therefore the Torah does not spend a lot of time on emphasizing her age or the miracle of her age in this point. Now, the Gemara says...
But with the whole context of incident, it's obvious that, he divorced her and then he took her back. He's married, so well, you're worse than Cairo, right? So obviously there was, some reasonable, I don't want to say conception, but, expectation that she could continue to give birth.
Right. So we're going to see in a second, she's actually pregnant already. All right. So here we go. So Amar, so why does it call her Bat? Right? So the Gemara says, Amar Yehuda, Shino the Bat, Simanei Na'arut. Right? That Na'arut. She came back to being a young girl already. And that's why, also above, right, the idea that she became that Nasi Miriam Kishtena Shim, Chil'ab Na'ara, that she also became a Na'ara. So that you have both Yocheved and Miriam becoming Na'arot again, meaning that they both are rewarded with, right, the Batei Kehunabe Tulibiya and then Batei Mafut. So this idea that they both became Na'arot, they both became young again and were conceiving and having children. Bater Tarisha Batelet Ben. She becomes pregnant and she gives birth to men. Bahahabat mit Abrabeit Bate Yarchemi Kara. Wasn't she already pregnant with him for 3 months prior to their getting married? Which the Gemara is going to prove in a second that that's the case. It's not so explicit in the Gemara, but that that she was already pregnant with him for 3 months. Alright, so I think Joel's suggestion is a good suggestion, which is that the separation took place. He was conceived there before the divorce, and then the divorce, and then the kuchim, which would explain why they were happy also, which is that the retaking of them being remarried, Moshe would not be born when they were separated. He'd be born when they were back together again. Amar Rabbi Yehuda bar Zvina, makes a hechish between her giving birth to her conception. Mar Rotash lo b'tzar, just like conception did not have pain. Ab leitatash lo b'tzar, when she gave birth, it was not painful. Mikan la nashim tzidkaniot, shodo ayu b'pitka shel chava. The nashim tzidkaniot are excluded from the gezerah on chava that they will give birth in pain. So they're excluded for that, and therefore the hekish of Leda and Horata show that she gave birth without pain. Batero kitovu. So when it was born, it says that the baby said that he was kito. Tanya, Rabbi Meomer Tov Shmo, that his name really was Tov. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Tuvia Shmo, that his name was Tuvia. Rabbi Nechemi Omer Hagun Neviut. What is Tov? Tov means that they saw that he was Ra'ui to be a Navi. Achayim Omerim Nolad Kishuhu Mahu, that he's born when he already had a bris. Machamim Omerim Mishash Nolad Moshe Nitmaleh Bayit Klo Or, that when he was born, the whole house filled with light. Ktiv Hacha Baterot Ki Tov, who is the term Ki Tov over here by Moshe's birth. Ktiv Hatam in the Bereishit, it says Ve'elokim Et Or Ki Tov. So the Kitov comes to teach you that the whole house filled with light, just like the creation of Or by Maisa Bereshit. So that supports the position of the Chachamim, or that's the Limud for the Chachamim, that the Malaya Bait Kulo Oro Or. So that's interesting. Tosfos over here asks a question, which is that in the list here we had opinions, a number of opinions what Tov was. Rabbi Meir was the author of one of the opinions, then Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemia, and the Chachamim. There's also Achirim. Now, we know the Gemara in other places says that who is Acherim? No, that's Acher, is always right. Is Rabbi Meir. Acherim is Rabbi Meir. So how can you have in a single brisa Rabbi Meir and Acherim? Meaning, if Rabbi Meir is the author of Acherim, how could it be Rabbi Meir? So Tosla says over, he brings two answers down. First possible answer is also interesting. It says, Amar Rabbi Sharab Kuntus Sarfat Shmuot Shikibel Me Elisha Ben Abuya Kabum B'Shem Acherim. That just like Elisha Ben Abuya, as Shaul pointed out, was called Acher, then Rabbi Meir, when he said over Torah from Elisha Ben Abuya, that he said in the name of Acherim. Whereas when he said over his memorot of his own, or in the other name of his other teachers, then he would call it B'Shem Rabbi Meir. But the Tosus rejects this Rishat. He says, because that same Gemara says that Rabbi Natan calls it Yishomrim. Right? And they call all the things of Rabbi Natan Yishomrim, and not just a portion of them called by Rabbi Natan, a portion of them called by Yishomrim. So when the Gemara says that they say Rabbi Meir, it means all of his memorots, meaning that we're called in the shame of Acherim, not unique memorots. So the Tosafot at the end suggests that he changed his mind. he first of all, he was put as Rabbi Meir, and then later on, when he said over, he changed his mind after they called him Acher, when they used this term as Acherim, he changed his mind, and therefore it's quoted in the Braisa as Acherim, because he gave over another pshat when he was already known as Acherim, and that is Rabbi Meir. Right, so they hit him for 3 months. That they only, Mitzrim only checked from the time that they took her back. And she was already pregnant with him for 3 months before. So they waited 3 months from the Kuchim to see if she was pregnant, but she was already 3 months pregnant, so she already hit the six-month point when they came to check. But the only achla old had to be known. She could no longer hide. As Rashi does say, this is the source that she was pregnant with him from 3 months before, because it says that it's been able to say Rachim. Why wasn't it? Why does it say over there? Why did they only keep him for 3 months? Right? The Mitzvah should have waited 6 months. Why did they only wait 3 months and then know that she was pregnant? Is because she was already pregnant with him for 3 months. So Shaul's point is that according to this way, that the Medrash. Right, that there is 9 months, that she went to full-term pregnancy because they were only able to hide the baby for 3 months because they counted 6 months and she was already pregnant or had conceived 3 months prior. Alright, so now, they can no longer hide him. Am I? It's been named Tezo. Keep hiding him. Why couldn't they keep hiding him? Everywhere they heard that there was a baby born or could be a baby born, they bring another baby there. Right, that they would bring another baby there that would call or cry, and that would cause the other baby to cry. And that one baby is triggered by another baby to cry, and so that's how they would find out where the baby was. Right, so that in Shir HaShirim, the Medrash Shir HaShirim says that refers to the Mitzrim. Right, they went after us, the Shualim Tanim, the young Shualim. So again, I don't, it's not clear to me why that, how this interpretation really explains it, but it seems to be that the Shualim, the Mitzrim, went after the Shualim Tanim, that they brought little babies, maybe they brought young Mitzrim, in order to ferret out the Jewish children that were there. And that's why they're using that, because the Medrash in Shir HaShirim says it's referring to the Mitzrim, and now you have the Shualim Ketanim. Even the babies were used or were hurting Klal Yisrael in Mitzrayim, and that's how they hurt them, by bringing these little babies around, and they found the other Jewish babies. But Tikachlo Tevat Gomen. So she makes him a little raft, or a little basket. Maish na Gomen. Why do they make a Gomen? Amar Lazar Mikan Tzadikim Shemamon Chaviv Alem Yoter Mikufan. The Tzadikim love their money more than their body. Chokach Lama. Why do they do that? The fish ain't pushtim yidam begazel. They don't have a lot because they won't steal and they won't take from anybody else. So therefore, that she could have made, according to Rashi, they could have made him a much nicer boat, or a much nicer basket to go in that would have protected him more with stronger materials, but yet they only made it with gomen because they didn't want to waste their money on building the basket. So no, the reason they used gomen is not because that was the cheaper material, but because it was the better material. I mean, that hard materials have no give to them, and therefore when they're in the water, they would be, they could be overturned or they could break. But the softer materials or softer gomet, well, has more flexibility, which will be able to deal with the water, be able to float along the water, not get tipped over, as well as not be broken. So then it says, "Vatech merab b'chemar v'zefet," that they plastered it with tart pitch and lime. "Vatana chemar b'mifnim v'zefet mibachutz." Right, so the chemar was on the inside, and the zefet was on the outside. Why? So you should not smell anything bad. So implied in here, and this is the Rashi brings this medrash down. I had the medrash chazal and chumash that, as opposed to Noach, which was had zefet and bifnim and bechutz, had on both sides, both because the waters were stronger there, and right, he wasn't like didn't have this close to Moshe Rabbeinu. Right, over here, Moshe was protected that he only had the zephyr on the outside and not on the inside. But there's a now, Tosfos brings down, Perish Rebbe b'shem Rav Shimon bar Kolinimus, Zeb Zeb Tocha Teva, that they were both inside the Teva. We thought Bifnim and Mibachutz meant inside the Teva and outside the Teva of Moshe. Right, one on the inside and one on the outside. But this Rebbe b'shem Rav Shimon bar Kolinimus, or Shmuel bar Kolinimus, Zeb Zeb Tocha Teva. They were both inside the Teva. V'chemar haya v'chaseh the Zephet. They plastered it with Zephet on the inside, and then they covered that with Chemar. And that's what it means, Mibifnim and Mibachutz. Mibifnim and Mibachutz is not about, right, the outside inside of the Teva, but one on top of the other inside the Teva. Why do that? Right. About Mibachutz, lo Zififa. On the outside, they didn't put on Zifa. Shalo Yargishu, ki haguma domeh lekaneh. Because guma looks like the reeds that were in the water, hayor. It was camouflaged. So if he put the zephyr on the outside, it would have made it black. It would have been obvious that it was in the water. So he says, no, they put everything on the inside, and then the kaneh were floating in the water, and it looked like another one of the reeds in the water. They wouldn't notice it. So that's what the Kolonimus suggests over here. Not what we usually think, or not the way we've normally interpreted it. Right, Rabbi Lozor Meir, so it says, about the same basuf. She put him in the suf. Rabbi Lozor Meir, yam suf. That she placed the mash literally in the yam suf. Shmuel Bar Nachin, we amar agam. She put him in the agam. Dichtiv, kaneh basuf kamelu. That the reeds and the bulrushes withered. So you see that the term suf is used for bulrushes or rushes, so she placed them in the agam, right, that the placed them in the area where there were rushes and stuff like that, which was not necessarily the Yamsuf, but in the rivers or the local, you know, the local river, either the Nile or some other water body there. But David Bat Paro the Chotz Ali Yor. So then the Bat Paro comes down to wash on the Yor. Amr Yochan Mishum Rav Shimon Yochai Melamechi Adar Chotz Migulei Adia. That she went down to wash herself off from the Bodhisattva of her father's house. B'cheni Omer, how do we know that the term rachat doesn't necessarily literally mean to be washed, but also means to cleanse oneself, or to purify oneself? It says, Im rachat Hashem mitzo'at benot Zion. That if Hashem clears out the, right, the, awfulness, or the refuse of the Benot Sion, in that here Hashem is talking about in the future when things will get better, Hashem will cleanse all the bad deeds of the Benot Sion, or the refuse of the Benot Sion. So you see the term rachatz over here is talking about purification, not about washing. Vinaratel chot, right, so her maidservants were going with her. Amr Yochanan, ina chuzu alashon mita. His halicha was a lashon of death. Right, so it says that by Esav, it says, are you going to die? So you see, Alicha can be used in terms of mamut. Why is it mamut? Because they were objecting to her taking this baby. So because of that, she knocked them off. She got rid of these maidservants because they're objecting to her taking Moshe. But there is a teba b'toch ha'suf. She sees the Arab b'toch ha'suf. Came into chazu d'ka. So when they saw that these maidservants saw that she was going to say Moshe, Amru la gviratenu, minagoshu l'olam. The normal way of the world is melech b'saver dem gozer gzeirayim kola ulam kuloim mikaimim ota. Even if nobody listens to a king, banav u'bnei dom mikaimim ota. His children listen to him, meaning that at least his family is going to listen to him. Ato verat gzeirat avicha. And you, right, everybody else is definitely listening to him. And you hear you are going to violate the decree of your father. Bar Gabriel, v'chaptan v'karka. Gabriel came and knocked them off. But he slacked it, and they knocked them off, gets rid of them. Meaning that's why we said that the Misa for the narot to go with her, the halicha was mita because Gabriel knocks him off when they try to object to her taking it. But the shlakat amatava tikkacha, right? Betikcha, that she stretches out her arm and takes it. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya, chadamar yada, that was literally her arm. Chadamar shifchata, amata means from her ama, in amata mean shifcha, not her arm. Madamar yada ktib amata, because it says that amata. Madamar shifchata, v'lo ktib yada, since it didn't use the term yada, instead uses the term amata. One who says that it was her shifchot that went out that she sent out. Can we just say that they knocked off all her shifchot? So that is everywhere. She left her at least one. The low orcha, the bat malchut, the mekam l'chuda. It's not right for a princess to walk around without at least one levoy. So he left her one shifchot.
And that one saw what the other she had no further objections.
Mother Mar Yada, the one says Yada, the Ketob Yada, so write Yada. Hak Mashalan, Tishtarveb, Ishtiruve, that her arm extended. Right, that the, The Mar says, this is from the Gemara Megillah, that says the scepter of Achashverosh extended, right, when he went to go and allow Esther to come and see him when she comes to speak to him. So there it says, that the scepter expanded, went to touch him, Damar Mar, right, over there, when they say that, it says, you find the same thing by the arm of Paro that extended, they find the same thing by the teeth of the Rishayim. That you broke the teeth of the Rishayim. That's the little right translation of the positive. That you, not that you broke them, but that you expanded them, that their teeth will grow out. Right, so it says that they open it up, but Tereo at the Yelit. So it says it in plural. It should say, Vitera, right, that she saw the letter be violet. So it's in the plural because not only did she see Moshe in there, she saw the Shechina Imo. Right, it sees that there is a child crying. Karle Yelit, the Karle Nar. Right, he was a baby, yet it's saying that he's crying like a Nar, which just sounds like he's older already. Right, so Tana Hu Yelit, the Kolo Kinar. Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, yeah, he was a baby, but his voice was like the voice of a nar, already of a grown child. So Amar Rabbi Nechemim, Kena Sita Moshe Rabbeinu Balmum. They make Moshe Balmum because his voice was off, meaning that when he was a baby, his voice already sounded like a nar. And Rashi, it's interesting, Rashi, I mean, I would have just said, okay, you made Moshe into a Balmum, that's not great. But Rashi says over there, oh, it's not good to make him a Balmum because he's a Levi. And if he's a Levi, then Nitzah B'Kol, Avodah Tashir, he wouldn't be able to do the Avodah Tashir without if his voice wasn't a proper voice. So it's just interesting that Rashi goes to the issue of Levi when, I mean, if he's just a Balmum, maybe that the Moshiach Shel Yisrael should be a Balmum, right? Doesn't seem correct. Amalameid, Shastolo Imo Kupat Ni'urim. That his mother made him a Kupat Ni'urim. She made him a little chupa over his teva. The teva, Amra Shemalo Eskel Chupato, says maybe I will not see his chupa, so she made a chupa there to console herself to that. Vatachmolo Lav, right, so she has mercy on him, and Tomer Miyodei Abrim says, she says, this is definitely a Jewish child. And Ayodah, how did she know it was a Jewish child? Right, because first of all, Paro was already Nigzar of Kolamo, right, so how did she know it was a Jewish child? Amra Yosef Bechinesh Rato Tomahu, so that he had a Milo, so that's what she knew. Zeh, she had a nevuah without knowing. Once Moshe was put into the water, then the Gzeres Paro was nitbatel. So she had a nevuah that once he was put in the water, it was all done. Why? Because the Insegnei Paro, Hainu Damei Rabbi Allah, this is what it says, Mighty Chti Bichi Yomru Aleichem. When it says to you, Tershu Alavot Veli Udinim, Amitzap Tzafim, Amagim, you should go after the Ovot and the Yidoim that chirp and snort, meaning that they all say things that they're saying. Sofim, Benoyandim HaTzofim, they say things, but they don't know what they're saying. Magim, Benoyandim HaMagim, that they, right, they talk about items or they have something what to say, but they don't know what they're saying. Right? Because Ra'ul, this is about the stagnate part. Ra'ul, Shemashiyan Shei Yisrael, Ubamayim Hulokeh. They saw that the Savior of Israel would be hurt by water. Amdu Gazul Kol Ben Adod Yoru Teshlechu. So that's when they made the Zerah, that everybody should be thrown in the water. Kevin Dishyadu, the Moshe Amar Tzulo Chazinan. As soon as Moshe was thrown in, they say it's all done. He's already in the water, it's all over. So once they didn't see the siman anymore, so they stopped the zera. So after Moshe was in the water, he was the end. So to Bat Paro, she said, Zeh, she says, he was the last one to be thrown in the water, because nobody was thrown into the water after that point in time. They didn't understand that Moshe was going to be punished by the water, meant May Miriva. Right? What does it mean, Hema May Miriva? Hema Sharu'uts, Tegnei Paro, but Ta'u. These are, they made Miriva, that Tegnei Paro thought that Moshe would be punished in the water. They thought in the water of Mitzrayim, these are the waters that he got punished by, which is May Miriva. This is what Moshe says, Sheish Milt Elef Ragli. Right, that says she builds elef ragli, meaning that I have 600,000 people and I have to feed them. So it says ragli because of me. What do I mean ragli because of me? Right, Amalei Moshe Israel b'shvili nitzalkim kuchem. You guys were all saved because of me, because the gzeir was nitbatel once I was thrown into the water. So that's what Rashi says. Ragli means because of me you were all saved because I was in the water. But Tosus makes the point. When I read it, I said the same thing. They were getting thrown in the water because of him. I mean, the only reason they were getting thrown in the water is because Moshe actually shows that he punished in the water. So what do you mean he's safe because of him? He was the one who caused them the problem to start with. Right? So he says, this is unbelievable. So it says that the Zera being thrown into the water was a later Zera, but Kola, right, that the killing of the male children, right, was something that Paro was Nigzar before this, and had nothing to do with Moshe, that had to do with the Milcham Bono, that they were afraid that they were going to rise up against them and have a civil war, so they killed up all the male children who were in running battles.
So why would that stop?
What?
Why would that stop now?
Why would that stop? Right. So he says, "Bishul Ragli." No, the gzera of the water was stopped because of Moshe, that the boys were being killed. So when they changed the gzera from killing them into throwing them in the water, once they got to that point, they stopped doing it. That was the 21st of Nisan. Right, so that the person who is going to eventually sing Shira L'Yam on this day should be killed, because that's when they have to sing Azir Shir, is on the 21st of Nisan. Here's Pakkal. It was the 6th of Sivan. It was Shavuot. Someone's going to get the Torah on Har Sinai on this day, will get killed on this day. One who says that it was the 6th of Sivan, then he found it for what? 3 months. That he respected, and you can get 3 months. I mean, that's how he hit her, right? That they was able to get the pregnant from before. Moshe was born and died on the 7th of Adar. Right, so Shiva Vadar by Shisha Sivan. Right, so if you go from 7th of Adar to Shisha Sivan, Pata Yarka, and you have 3 months, that's what Titzpinei was. She hit him for 3 months, and then he was put into the water. How are you going to work out the measures that it, or how do you work out the puzzle that he was hidden for 3 months? He was born on the 7th of Adar. That was the 21st of Nisan. So Mar says, no problem. It was a leap year. Rubo shall be shown. So you have Adar from the 9th of Adar be shown to the end of Adar be shown. Right, but Rubo Shalakaron, and most of Nisan until the 21st of Nisan, plus and Shali Shalim, and then the whole other best. So therefore you have 3 months. But Tomarakoto El Bat Paro, Elef Bekratil Chayishami Neket Minei Barot. So Miriam says to the Bat Paro, should I go get you a nurser for the Jews? Umayshnami Briot. Why does he offer to get her from the Jews? They tried with the wet nurses, the Mitzri wet nurses, and it didn't work. The one whose mouth is going to speak with the Shekhinah, he should drink from a Davar Tamei here, because, as Rashi points out, we know that the mother's milk has that which she eats in it. So if they're eating Davarim Tameim, that's going to affect the milk of the mother. So therefore, they didn't want to do that.
Behind you, it's safe. Some earlier is a sham.
Yeah, on the side here it says Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right. I know the thief, it's me yore de'a. Right? So that the one, the me yore de'a, is the pasuk actually continues, and I was gonna say the me yore de'a, me yavin shmua. Who does Hashem give Teah, and could explain his words, the ones already removed from the world, the milk and the breast. I mean, that once you have to separate from these things that are negative, and therefore they only can have the Yoreh Teah or Yavin Shmua after they're separated from these types of things. So to Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not appropriate that he should have Yinika, that he should nurse from a Mitzri, which was the Bartimae. Tamal Rav Pedro Lechi. Take them, right? So Amar Rav Elazar Malamei Chalchabz Rizut Kalmah. She ran like a young maid. She ran to do what her bidding. That means she hid her words. I mean that she didn't really say that she was going to get the mother. That she did this in a, you know, underhanded way to get her mother to get the baby back. She had a nevuah. She didn't know what the nevuah was. Heilichi, she said, take it. Hashelichi. When she says to Yocheved to take the baby to do the wet nurse, to be the wet nurse, she says Heilichi, which is Hashelichi. This is yours. And then I'll pay you for it. Not only do they get their Aveda back, they get paid for getting that which they get back. Because here Yocheved gets her own son back. Right? Moshe, not only does she get him back, she also gets paid to feed him, to nurse him. But so it says, Miriam and Yibah, that she's the sister of Aaron. Achot Aaron, lo achot Moshe. She's the sister of Aaron, and not the sister of Moshe. Amram, Abram, Amrav, Ramila, Amrav, Nachman, Amrav, Lameh, Shayam, Mitnaba, she achot Aaron. She was only in Nebiyah while she was achot Aaron. But after Moshe was born, she's no longer in Nebiyah. But Merit, what was her Nebuah? Atira imi, she tell a bench Moshiach Yisrael. My mother's going to eventually have a daughter, a son, I'm sorry, that will save Yisrael. But given she's alive, Moshe, Nitmalei, Kalabait, Bula'or. In the house filled with light, Amar Avia and Ashka Rusha. Amram gets up, kisses her on the head, and says, "Amar Bitini, Kaima Nivuatech. Your Nivuah came true." Kebishi to the Yor. After they dumped him into the Yor, Amar Avia Tapcha Rushai slapped her on the head. Amar Bitich Nivuatech. What's going to happen with your Nivuah? Finding Tichdiv. That's what it says about Miriam. The Tzav Chotom Merachok Leidah Meyaselo. That she stands by to see what's going to happen to Leidah Meyem Sof Nivuatah. To see what's going to happen with her Nivuah. And that slap of Amram. That was the end of her Nivuah. Once Moshe Rabbeinu was born.